after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no after me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down and fights till I'm found. It leaves the 99, and I couldn't earn it. I don't deserve it. Still, you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Can we sing that? Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, it fights till I'm found and leaves the 99. Don't deserve it. Still, you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. After me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me.
Jesus, we thank you, God. Hallelujah. We praise your name, Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for meeting us here tonight. Hallelujah. We praise your name, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We would like to welcome all of our guests here tonight to Calvary Gospel Church. This is our Bible study night, Wednesday nights. If you have, if this is your first time here, we have these little cards that we call guest cards. They're green. We'd like for you to fill one of those out and turn it in to our ushers to give. You can give that to the usher, or you can give it at the kiosk in the back. And we'd like to stay in contact with you and get to know you a little better. If you are here and you haven't been back in a while, we welcome you back to Calvary Gospel Church. I know many of you have been sick in body and sick in with COVID and different things like that. And so we're just happy to see your faces here back tonight. Amen. So right now we'd like for our ushers to get ready to take up our, well, we're not going to do that with the bags. I'm just totally off tonight. So let's just go ahead and just establish that fact. I'm just off tonight. No, we're not doing the bags, but we're going to have our giving options, our sign up there. It says there's ways to give. You could visit us at cgc.org/giving. You can mail in your offering, or you can give your tithes by text message, 608-719-3883. And so those are ways of giving. We do have some announcements tonight. This Friday, we have all church prayer at 7 o'clock. So we'd like for, if you have, it's been a little while since we had a prayer. We've had some cancellations and stuff, so it's super important, especially with all the crazy stuff that's happening in the world around us to, in this day and age, that we show up for prayer. Amen. 7 o'clock this Friday. Also, this Saturday, there's a Section 3 Men's Prayer Breakfast, and that is going to be held in Watertown. So we haven't had a whole lot of events in 2020, so let's try to get together as men, and we'll see you all in Watertown. If you need directions, you can come to me, but we're having Brother Aaron McLean speaking. He's a Section 3 Men's Rep, and so we'll be joining there at 9 o'clock in Watertown. And so if you have any special requests for prayer, would you like to just raise your hand to the Lord right now? And if you have any special needs, we just want to pray for you tonight. We do want to pray for Peter Kelly, who has cancer of his liver and esophagus and is dealing with that now. And we want to remember him tonight. If you would you just mind just standing and just go to the Lord in prayer right now? Lord Jesus, we ask you, God, that you will touch all of these needs that are represented by these lifted hands, Lord, tonight, the body here tonight, God. We ask you, Lord Jesus, you'll touch every single financial need, Lord God, that is represented here, every single emotional need, every single spiritual need, every single physical need, Lord. We ask you to touch all those needs, oh God, that are coming into this building, Lord God, looking for hope, looking for faith. Lord, we ask you, Lord Jesus, that you would bless these people. We ask you to touch Peter Kelly, Lord. We ask you also, Lord Jesus, all those that have dealt with the side effects of COVID, Lord God, that are still struggling with the damage that has caused. Lord God, we rebuke COVID in the name of Jesus tonight. We also, God, we pray for the healing and a complete healing to happen in everyone's body who is struggling, Lord, tonight with those side effects. Oh God, we ask you, Lord Jesus, that you would bless your people tonight, Lord, for the hearing of the word, God, that you would bless them with faith tonight and believing, God, that you are still the Lord God on the throne and you're still in control and you're still in charge, God. We ask you, Lord Jesus, that no matter what's going on, Lord Jesus, that you would present yourself, Lord. The Bible says that they that know the shepherd, they hear his voice. Oh God, we ask you, Lord Jesus, just speak, Lord Jesus, something that we would recognize tonight, Lord, that we recognize it. Lord, you're in it. Lord, you're in the middle of us, Lord. And you know our name, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. God bless you.
Praise the Lord, church. You can be seated this evening. And I talked with Sister Cecily and told her I'm going to change things up a little bit tonight. I was going to continue on my series, but I just really felt very heavy in my heart today. I'm just going to speak from here for a little bit. Then we're going to spend some time in prayer, if I can. I'm 58 years old. And I've lived in Madison most of my life, since 1972. Many of you my age and older have heard all your life, if you've gone to church all your life, that Jesus is soon to return. I think every generation from the disciples, the apostles, to current generations have preached that Jesus Christ is soon to return. I've lived in no other country but the United States of America. I'm fiercely proud of my country, fiercely loyal to my country. As a history, enjoying history and loving history, I guess I could say that for decades and decades and decades, doomsdayers have been predicting the decline and the fall of this great nation. While many of these short-term predictions have proved to be inaccurate, there's some truth in the prevailing belief that this nation will fall like every great nation before it. If you study history, you could go back to the Egyptian Empire, the Persian Empires, the Roman Empires, the Grecian Empires. You can go through modern history, and there's been rise and fall of nations as long as there has been a history of humanity. Apart from sporadic revival and attempts at reformation, I do believe strongly that this nation is on or in a state of decline. The problem with many doomsdayers is that while their prophecies or their prophetic words may be correct, the reason for this decline, they are wrong. Is the future bleak for America? Well, I do believe that it is a bleak future ahead of us. But our problem is it's not a political problem. People are all caught up into the politics of this. It's not a political problem. It's not a economic problem. It's not even a social problem, as all of these naysayers and doomsayers would have us to believe, but the decline of this nation, just as the decline of every other nation, is due to spiritual factors. The political, the economic, the social problems that we encounter, they are just the symptoms. Understand this. What we are experiencing in this country today is the symptoms of a much greater problem. You see, although we may feel that some of this is obscure and difficult to discern and track and figure out, the reality is that anyone that is willing to look at a nation in its entirety would be able to understand what I'm talking about here. There are spiritual principles that influence the life of an individual, and there are political, spiritual principles that govern the life of a nation. Understand something. Government is ordained by God. We the people, we look at that, and we look at our Constitution, we look at our Bill of Rights, and we say, we have the freedoms we have because of our Constitution. No, we have the freedoms we have because God ordained man to be free. It is the bondage of sin. It is the bondage of sin that holds mankind in the day that we live in. We hear, we talk. I've heard this many times before that, well, our nation is strong and we'll get through this and it can't happen to us. It can't happen here because we're different. We're Americans. The problem is that we're not willing to fix the sin issue. The reality is that nations are born and die just as individuals are born and die. The longevity of a nation, we could look through great civilizations. Our civilization, our nation here is 250 plus years old. If you know anything about the British Empire, they had a statement in the British Empire that the sun never set on the British Empire because they had colonies all across the world in all time zones, above, below the equator. The sun never set. But you see, countries, I don't know if you're following what's going on in England right now, but countries like Great Britain and countries like the United States, we're just really reaching an average age when it comes to decline of a nation. You see, each great civilization in the world has passed through a series of stages. Every nation ever to rise and every nation ever to fall passes through a series of stages. If you study history and you study the spiritual decline of the Western Empire, the Western nations, which we are included in that, it goes something like this. The first stage, it moves from bondage into spiritual faith. Now, I look back at our nation and I don't know what history book you're going to use for our nation, but we were, as Americans, we were under British rule as a young nation, as a young colony. We were British subjects. We were subject to the King of England. I'm not by any way equating this to slavery or anything like that. I'm just talking about the history. The first stage goes from bondage to a spiritual faith. Our forefathers. I have with me here a Bible. And this Bible is, it's called the American Patriot's Bible. And I can go through the pages of this Bible and it's just full of quotes and statements from our forefathers. Spiritual. Were they perfect men? No, they weren't perfect, but they had a different insight. They sought to build a different nation than had ever been built before. They looked to build a nation built on Judeo-Christian principles. No other nation had ever been built that way before. So it went from spiritual faith to a great courage. As these men begin to rise up, the smell of liberty begin to flow through their veins. They were tired of unfair taxation and all of the things that they were subject to under British rule. And they had the courage to fight the mightiest empire in the world at that time, the British Empire. Not just fight them, but fight them and win. So that the third stage, it went from courage to liberty. We love to talk about these great men. And then As a nation began to grow, God began to bless. And our nation went into a period of great abundance. Great abundance. And then, as the fifth stage moved in, it went from abundance to selfishness. If you know anything about our history, we look at the sacrifices that some of the men and women, families, as they expanded west in our country, the Louisiana Purchase, all the way to California. And such an abundance, such a blessing. But then greed began to step in. We have the Industrial Revolution of the 1880s that totally revolutionized our nation. For the first time in the history of our nation, we begin to work more than one shift. At first shift, second shift, third shift, because we had electricity. We were developing. And then it goes from abundance to selfishness. We begin to have people that accumulated vast empires of wealth. They begin to corporate America begin to develop, and you say, what does all of this have to do? Just hear with me tonight, please. We went from selfishness into a stage of complacency, which often happens, and I believe that in within my lifetime, I've seen it go from the selfishness to complacency. I look at the selfishness of the World War II generation. Something happened to our nation after World War II. We defeated one of the most evil empires ever to be on this planet. And how did we go from 1945 to 1965 in 20 years? It's because we went from complacency to apathy. And then we went from apathy and it began to speed up to moral decay. And now we live in the ninth stage of every nation on the earth that's ever declined. We are in the ninth stage where we are going from moral decay to dependence. And the last stage, as the nation collapses, it goes from dependence back in to bondage, only to repeat the cycle. You see, this is the direction that our country, whether you like it or whether you hate it, is headed for. We can go into Scripture and we can look at the book of Judges and we can look at Israel and we can see over and over and over again how that Israel followed the same exact pattern. I like to read to you just a verse of Scripture from Revelation chapter 18. After these things, I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen. Is fallen has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. For the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. And Babylon fell, and great was her fall. Recently, Congress sent to the president to sign a COVID relief bill. Reading all of the waste that's in that bill was $120 million, I believe, slated for the country of Pakistan, which is a Muslim nation, very strong Muslim nation. I don't agree with the Muslim philosophy or way of life, but that $120 million was to promote gender, transgenderism, I could call it that, within their nation. This is what Scripture is talking about, and it's being fulfilled right before our eyes. Our nation is polluting the world. We have become drunk. Our politicians are drunk on their own power. But you see, we have to understand something. Where does the church... Hear me, please. Where do we fit in all of this? You see, as the world changes, our nation changes. As our nation changes, so do its people. You can't even have conversations anymore with people because things are so volatile. But you see, it's people that lead the change. It's people. It's not a constitution. It's not a bill of rights. It's not laws necessarily. It's people that lead the change. And so what happens? What happens to the church? We have to be careful here because typically the church will reflect its culture. Hear me now. And as a result of the church reflecting its culture, the church changes with the culture. This is happening right here, right now in our country. We've seen this happen before our very eyes. You see, this is what Paul was fighting in almost every letter that he wrote in the New Testament. He was addressing world culture that was creeping into the church. Doesn't mean we go around like ostriches with our head in the sand. I'm not saying that. But he was addressing culture. So if the church chooses culture over conviction, what happens in the world will happen in the church. People choose sides. So we see today people in the churches, people in churches all over America, we see churches choosing culture over conviction. That's why we are in the state of decline. Bible convictions, Bible principles, and biblical doctrines are scoffed at. And Babylon fell. And great was her fall. Recently, Brother Thompson was here and he shared with us a few dreams, visions. I'm not for sure exactly how he termed them, but he shared with us some prophetic words. He spoke of how he was standing overlooking the Mississippi River. And there was this huge ripple across the river. And he shared with that he felt that that ripple was perhaps COVID-19 as it spread across the world and across our nation, and how it disrupted life, but life continued. And then he had another dream or vision where that the river had stopped flowing downstream. And I believe, if my memory serves me correct, it was flowing upstream, which is a very unnatural. There has to be something major happening downstream to force a river to flow backwards. And he began to share how that he felt that some of this may be political uncertainty, political unrest. And then he also shared with us how that he was in a house overlooking the river, some distance away from the river. And he noticed that none of the plumbing was working in the house and the electricity. And he opened up the front door, and it's just as though all of the land was being eroded and sucked in to this raging current. This last year, at our general conference, I believe it was just this past year, our general superintendent, Brother David Bernard, read a prophetic letter that was given to him. I don't know all the details behind the letter. Some of you may have read this, but I want to read this to you tonight. It says, "My son, I will send a devastation on the United States, the like of which has never been experienced. The devastation will come with destruction multiplied times over, and the people will tremble. I will do this to bring the nation to its knees. Even the kings of the earth shall be clothed in fear. The entire population of the United States will then know the path of treachery their leaders have traveled to destroy the faith of so many." I want to pause here. I think when our current president, Donald Trump, coined the phrase or used the phrase "drain the swamp," he had no idea how deep the corruption went. I don't care if you like him, voted for him, it doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. But we live in such a corrupt nation. I'm appalled. I'm embarrassed by the behavior of our leaders. Didn't just start recently. You know why it's gotten to the point that it's gotten? Because we have a people. We as a people have become corrupt. We give them their power. We're the ones that vote them in time and time and time and time again. What God is saying here is that the paths of treachery our leaders have traveled to destroy the faith of so many. It goes on to say, my people, who are called by my name, will be tried severely, but my purpose will be to show myself to be their God, even before I come to gather them to me. but the end is not yet. This will take place just prior to my return, and I will use this devastation to cause many spiritual prodigals who have turned away from me return and reconsecrate their lives to me, and many who have left the love of righteousness and the gospel to realign their principles. Listen, church, if there ever was a time to stand for Bible principles, it's now. I don't know about you, but I do not want to be on the wrong side of God's judgment. If the church chooses and says, "Pastor, we don't like what you're saying, we want someone else," then you know what? Be my guest, but get ready for all hell to break loose. Because any time that we go against principles in the Word of God, we are putting ourselves in a direct line of judgment. Because where does God say judgment is going to begin? Right here. Right here. Right here. And I will bring multitudes to me to know me, because at that time there will be a revelation that all men everywhere will know that I am the only Lord God. Sister Cecily, if you could just start to play softly. I struggled all day today. I had periods of frustration, anger. Weeping, a heaviness. Listen, once you squirt that tube of toothpaste out, it ain't going back in. You could say, "Well, these are the good guys." I'm not so sure of that. Anytime, hear me? Anytime you're going to take down a flag of my country and put up a flag with a man's name on it, I got a problem with that. I will fight for my country. I will not fight for corrupt politics. You see, God didn't call us to fight. He called His church to fight a different battle. If we want to see restoration, if we want to see a revival of unprecedented, oh, we may have to go through hell to get it. But we have to understand that God has all of this in control. I know I've talked a little bit more than what I had actually planned on. We have roughly 15 minutes until the end of service, but I just want us to just, if you want to stand, you can stand. If you want to come to the altar, you could come to the altar. But I want us to just, Sister Cecily just leads us in quiet worship. We know what's coming. God has said it, and so many different ways. It's going to get rough before it gets better, if it ever gets better. But God's providing us a way through it. God has always provided shelter for his people. Will things change? More than likely, yes. But what's our faith in? What's our trust in? We've seen what's happening to our great system here in America. It's crumbling beneath our feet. So let's close out this in prayer. Prayer for our nation. Pray for our families. Pray for our church, your family. If my people, who are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and repent. He's telling his church, it starts here. It starts with me. It starts with you. Lord, forgive us. Forgive us as a church of our sin. Sin of complacency. Sin of apathy. God, maybe we just don't care anymore what happens to the world. God, if there's any selfishness, any bitterness, any hatred, God, I want to present to you a clean heart. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. God, even though I don't agree with so many things, God, help my attitude, help my spirit to be right, Lord, our country. God, this goes so much deeper than an election. The election just brought it to the surface. God, we have a corrupt sin problem in this nation, and we just don't seem to want to deal with it. We fund abortion all over the world. The sanctity of marriage is a joke now, Lord. God, forgive us, Lord. Forgive us, God. Forgive us. God, remember, but we are but dirt. We are but dust, Lord. Have mercy, God. Lead us, God. Guide us. Direct us. Each and every family. The head of every family, Lord. Our husbands, our wives. Lord, we have so many single families, so many single parents, God. Give those parents the wisdom, God, to lead their families.
Undefeated. it's for when you stand undefeated in every battle you've won. I am who you say I am. You crown me with confidence. I am seated in the heavenly place, undefeated by the power of your name. I am seated in the heavenly place, undefeated with the one who has conquered it all. And when I lift my voice and shout, every wall comes crashing down. I have the authority Jesus has given me. And when I open up my mouth, miracles start breaking out. I have the authority Jesus has given me. And when I lift my voice and shout,
Lee. Lincoln's second inaugural address in March of 1865. A country deeply divided between the North and the South. He read the same Bible and prayed to the same God that each side invokes to their aid against the other. It may seem strange that any man would dare to ask God's assistance to help them when they're fighting against a brother, vice versa. You see, understand something, the prayers of both could not be answered. And not either side's prayers were answered in any way fully. Because we have to understand that you may have the right, you may have the left, you may have the middle, but God is sovereign. God is sovereign. And God says, I will do what I want to do. And we have to remember, church, that as these prophetic words begin to ring true, we have to remember that God is sovereign. And God will simply do what God wants to do. Don't raise your voice in anger towards God. Raise your hands in worship towards Him. God, you are an almighty God. Lord, you see beyond what we see. You go beyond where we go. And your ways are so much higher than our ways. God, help us, Lord, to have right attitudes. Help us, Lord, to have a spirit of unity. God, our world is broken. Our world is broken. It needs a refuge. And may this church, may these people, your people, be the refuge. The refuge for a lost, confused, and frustrated world. I love you, Calvary Gospel Church. I love each and every one of you. Let's just remember to continue each other in prayer. We're going to spend some time on Friday night. I want to just spend a few minutes, if you would allow me to do that. I want to lay out some direction for this year. And it's very critical because, as I said in 2020, I believe 2020 was just a precursor. What, 2021? In a few months, we may say, boy, I wish we could go back. Just remember, God's got this. God's got this. God's got it. Love you all. Appreciate you all. I hope you don't feel like it's just all gloom and doom. This is where we're at. This is the reality of living in the last days. Perilous times shall come. But God's got us. Love you all. God bless you all. And we will see you Wednesday evening, or Friday evening.